Well, it is really a treat, and it's an honor for me to get to share with you guys tonight, because you guys are the women that I look up to. So this is just huge for me. But during the school year, I participate in Bible Study Fellowship, which is a kind of a structured Bible study. And then over the summer, when that is not going on, I memorize scripture with my very strict memory accountability partner, Mary, who keeps me in line. And it helps us stay in God's Word over the summer when we don't have that structure, a formal Bible study. So this summer we were in 1 Peter. And so 1 Peter 3:3-4 has kind of been rolling around in my head for months, you know, because when you memorize, you say it over and over. And God has graciously given me this opportunity to stop and kind of unpack this a little bit. It's sort of like you think of verses, sometimes when you memorize verses as a package, and when you stop and get to unwrap it and open it and see what's inside. And so that's what I've gotten to do with 1 Peter 3:3-4 this week. And really, this is for me. I needed this. And so this, what I'm going to talk about, is for me tonight. And if you guys would like to listen, you're welcome to listen. But I'm the one who needs this. So that's where we're going to spend just a couple of minutes tonight. So let's go ahead and read it. And I'll read in 1 Peter 3, the first four verses. So in the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. Your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. So verses 1 and 2 talk about the behavior of a believing wife. And it's easy, and this is written by Peter, so it's easy to imagine the disciples often as kind of a bunch of, you know, kind of sweaty bachelors. But we do get a couple of hints about Peter's wife in the Bible. In 1 Corinthians 9:5, Paul says, "Don't we have the right to take along a believing wife as the rest of the apostles do?" So apparently the implication is that Peter's wife went with him, that she was a believer, that she traveled with him, she was a missionary. And Peter's mother-in-law, if you remember, was healed by Jesus, personally healed by Jesus. So this would have been his wife's mom. So she sounds like quite a person that we might enjoy meeting someday. So I'm sure that he had her in mind when he was writing this. And verse 1 to 2 talks about the behavior of a believing wife. And so submissive, chaste, and respectful behavior that is winsome and attractive. So that's verses 1 and 2, and that's a whole another talk. But winsome and attractive with an eternal purpose, and that purpose is to win people for Christ. But then he goes on in verses 3 and 4, and he talks about the adornment and the attributes and the inner qualities of what makes a woman attractive and what makes her beautiful. And interestingly, this also has an eternal purpose. So he starts out with adornment, and I looked up adornment in the dictionary, and it's a decoration, enhancement, or an ornament. So it's something added, and it's a way for a woman. An adornment is a way to make ourselves beautiful or attempt to make ourselves beautiful. And when we adorn ourselves, it says that it must not be merely external. So this means, merely external means that there is another kind of adornment that he's going to talk about, a better and a more important kind. But first of all, he talks about the obvious, the external adornment, and he gives three categories. And it's interesting that both here and in 1 Timothy 2, the same three categories are mentioned: hair, jewelry, and clothes. And you can look at the ads in any woman's magazine these days, and you can tell, apparently these always have been, and these still are, you know, three biggies for us, because you see a lot about this. So it's important, first of all, here to notice that this does not forbid any attempt to present ourselves attractively. It doesn't prohibit fixing our hair or wearing jewelry. Those things are not wrong in themselves. And in fact, one commentator pointed out, and I have to take his word for it because I don't know the Greek, but he said that in the Greek, if these verses prohibit hairdos and wearing jewelry, then it also prohibits putting on clothes. So clearly, that is not the message here. God is not opposed to physical beauty, and unattractiveness is not next to godliness. God himself is beautiful, and he created us in his image, male and female, and so we're to be good stewards of what God has given us and what and how he has created us, and so taking care of our appearance is part of that. But there is more to it than just slapping on some external decoration and thinking that that's good enough, and really that should not be the focus, and that's what he's saying here, that external, your adornment must not be merely external. And other versions, that's the NASB, other versions say your beauty should not come from this, or your beauty should not consist of this. So this outward adornment or beauty is only going to get you so far, and even the world kind of knows this to some extent. I read a quote by Halle Berry, who is an actress and a model, and she was the first runner-up in the Miss USA pageant, and she said, "Let me tell you something. Being thought of as a beautiful woman has spared me nothing in life, no heartache and no trouble. Beauty is essentially meaningless, and it is always transitory." So she was half right. That was half right. External beauty, the beauty that the world knows and the beauty that the world trades in, is essentially meaningless and it's transitory. But and if that is all you have, if that's all a person has, then she has nothing. But Peter goes on to talk about an eternal adornment in verse 4. He goes on to tell us that what makes us truly beautiful is the hidden person of the heart. So in contrast to the decoration on the outside, this is what is inside and it's hidden. So it's revealed by the qualities that come out over time. So you can tell at a glance what somebody's wearing, but you can't tell at a glance, in a snapshot, who they really are. It takes time. Now, sometimes it doesn't take very much time, but it takes time. You see their reactions, their interactions, and their responses, and that's what reveals the hidden person. That's what shows what is inside. And he calls them imperishable qualities. And the Bible uses the word imperishable for things that are eternal, that are not subject to decay the way that all creation is, things that are untouched by the passage of time. And when you have a birthday that ends in zero, as I will have this year, you're reminded that physical appearance is perishable and it is touched by the passage of time. And I thought sometimes it's more than just touched, sometimes it's kind of smacked pretty good. So. But what is imperishable will last, and it will outlast any outfit, any hairdo, or any jewelry that we have, anything that we can put on ourselves. And in fact, it was interesting, I noticed that Peter specifically pointed out earlier in this book, in chapter 1, that gold is perishable. So he has already said gold is perishable, and here he's saying don't use that to be the definition of what makes you beautiful, because what's imperishable will outlast these bodies that we have. So this godly adornment that beautifies the heart that he's talking about is a gentle and quiet spirit. And who knows someone that you would describe as having a gentle and quiet spirit? Probably all of us do. We know somebody that we would describe that way, but I bet very few of us would describe ourselves that way. You know, when we read that verse, it's like, yeah, that's not me. I mean, have you ever thought that? Maybe I'm the only one. You know, other people are gentle and quiet. And so when we read this verse, we kind of feel this huge, heavy pressure to behave in a gentle and quiet way. So, but is that, you know, what does that really mean? I mean, what does that really look like? What is this verse asking of us? So gentle means not pushy, not selfishly assertive, not demanding our own way, and it's related to that word meekness that is used in the Bible. It's born out of a trust in God. Because if you look back at the end of chapter 2 in Peter, what he's just been talking about, Peter has been holding up Christ as our example. He says, "While being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to the one who judges righteously." So if anybody had a right to fight back or to assert his own rights, it was Jesus. But he didn't. He entrusted himself to his Father, trusting God to judge and trusting God to make sure that every outcome came out the way it should be, and he was fine with that outcome. And God likes to be trusted. Trusting his strength means that we don't have to assert our own, that we don't have to put ourselves out there, and we can be gentle with other people because we have full confidence that God sees what's going on and he will make right whatever needs to be right. So then the second adjective there is, the second adornment is quiet. And quiet is not just biting your tongue. It's not just not speaking. It's not the absence of noise. Because, and even though there are times when that is called for, because the Bible gives plenty of instances, plenty of occasions when not to open your mouth. And in verse 2, there are times when the most effective witness, he says, is when people is without a word, as they observe your chaste and your respectful behavior. But silent does not equal quiet, because if you've ever given your husband the silent treatment, you know that that doth not proceed from a quiet heart. So if there is ugliness inside, it will find a way out. And trust me, because I know what I'm talking about on this one. You can ask my husband, or better yet, just believe God's word, because there are many places where it says that what is in the heart comes out. So quiet is a calm and peaceful spirit. It's the opposite of restless, rebellious, or disturbed. And so let's be honest. Tonight, that sounds really good, the gentle and quiet spirit, and we want to take that home with us. You know, we're like, yeah. But then what about tomorrow morning when we get up and we look in the mirror and we see the crow's feet and the tired skin and the flat hair and the bulges here and there and everywhere? And inner beauty is all well and good, but sometimes we just want to look good, don't we? We just want to look good, and it hurts not to. And so why is that? Because physical attractiveness spins in this world. It's the currency of our world. It's our world values. Pleasure and power and money and beauty can buy that, because good looks do buy happiness here for a minute. Maybe, you know, maybe you get on the drill team, maybe you get that promotion, you make more money, or maybe it's just being admired and included. And so those can buy some happiness temporarily, but they can't guarantee it. They cannot guarantee happiness. And inner eternal beauty doesn't really spend in this world. It's not the local currency, because it is an imperishable quality and it's designed for eternity. So it's not meant to be spent on temporary pleasures and satisfaction and on us and what makes us feel good. It's to be used for the kingdom of God, like in verse 2, to bring others to Christ, to bring unbelievers to Christ. And 1 Peter 1:7, faith, which is imperishable, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And then in 2:12, he says, keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. So the beauty in God's economy brings glory to him and not to ourselves. So the Bible has a lot to say about this future inheritance and what we have to look forward to. It calls it treasures in heaven and the freedom and glory of the children of God, and what the eye has not seen and the ear has not heard, and things more than we can even imagine. But really, we don't get a whole lot of details. We're told it's wonderful and it's glorious, but the bulk of it we take on faith, that this is going to be great. So we value this inner beauty because it is for our eternal selves and for eternity. And so just for a bit of encouragement here tonight, this is not up to us. And as believers, we don't have to gin this up inside ourselves somehow. And unbelievers can never concoct this within themselves. Our beauty is not what we do for God, but it is what he does in and through and for us. And it's the new heart from him. So it's the hidden person of the heart, like Peter said. It's the person that God has changed, that new creation with a new heart. And God himself adorns us. And I just love these verses about the Heavenly Father. It says, the king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is interwoven with gold, from Psalm 45. And the fruit of the Spirit, peace, kindness, gentleness, And Jesus Christ himself, his bride, has made herself ready. It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, from Revelation 19. Ezekiel 16 says, your fame went forth among the nations on account of your beauty, for it was perfect because of my splendor, which I bestowed on you. So a gentle and quiet spirit is the clothing and the jewels that God gives to us as his children and his daughters and his bride. And he adorns us, and so it is our place to wear them. Matthew Henry said, the grace of God, the longer we wear it, the brighter and better it is. And this is precious in the sight of God. So not only does the Lord make us beautiful, but he sees us as beautiful. He sees the true beauty that is really there, and that hidden beauty is beauty from God. But it's not hidden from God, and he loves it. It is precious to him, we're told. Song of Solomon, you are altogether beautiful, my darling, and there is no blemish in you. And maybe some of you have seen the Dove beauty campaigns. They did a series of short videos, and there is one short video where they brought in a forensic artist. So he's one of those people that draws the sketches of suspects based on their descriptions. And he brought in several women. He had them describe themselves to him behind a curtain so he couldn't see them, and he drew these women. And then without them knowing it, he brought their daughters in. And he had their daughters describe them. And he drew them again based on their daughter's description. And the two drawings were very different because from their own self-description, they looked tired and flawed and unattractive. But from the description of somebody who knew and loved them, they looked pleasant and soft and beautiful. And so if you are a child of God, then go with his description of you. Go with his description and embrace that rich adornment, because you are way more beautiful than you may think you are, and treasure that. Treasure it because God does. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for just letting us see that you care about your children being beautiful and that you make us beautiful, Lord. And help us to value what you value and not get caught up in the world's economy and trying to get the beauty that spins here, Lord, but cultivate in us a gentle and quiet spirit because that is precious to you and because it is valuable for eternity. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.